Join the majority of Russian forces. It's the first time Putin's been to Syria since he sent those forces to help crush rebel groups opposed to Assad in 2015. Putin visiting an air base and telling the troops there they would be coming home as victors. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A federal court says transgender people can enlist in the U.S. military starting January 1st. The ruling is a blow to President Trump's effort to ban transgender people from coming into the military. Transgender military policies were eased during the prior Obama administration. The ruling came from a U.S. Circuit Court judge in Washington, D.C., and the issue will likely end up at the Supreme Court. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my Blue Blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are Blue Blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue Blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. Here's a great holiday offer. Call toll-free now to order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus shipping. The perfect Christmas gifts. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777.
Comedian Hannibal Buress is out of jail now after being busted for disorderly intoxication. The incident was caught on a cell phone video and posted to YouTube.
Under arrest. For what? Explain what I'm under. Explain what I'm detained for.
TMZ reports that Buress was arrested in Miami over the weekend. The officer who arrested him says the comedian approached him with bloodshot eyes and a strong odor of alcohol and requested that the cop call him an Uber. When the cop refused, Buress became belligerent. He then went inside a bar and the officer asked him to leave because he was too drunk. Buress began to curse at him. The officer apparently asked him to leave 5 times before arresting him. A holiday trends expert has more good news for Amazon as this year's holiday shopping season continues.
Consumer confidence is at its highest it's been in about 17 years or so when it comes to holiday shopping. So people are going to be going out to the store, so they want a good shopping experience there. But some people are a little bit worried about that shopping experience at the store, so they're looking for brands online.
Digital journalist Mike Baco also thinks people are trying to relax more during their holiday shopping, but still create satisfying gift-giving experiences. Find out more on his website, Daily National. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And we're live in the studio. I'm your host, Georgine Trinka, a special author in the studio with me today, so I won't be lonely and sending photos of the empty chairs with this massive board here. So we have a great show, and we'll be talking about Karen Gaffney's new book, Dismantling the Racism Machine, but certainly not new to her work in the field. And meanwhile, I know we have to pay the bills and get our weather out there, so stay with us. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle. You're live here at Hot in Hunterdon.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot in Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot in Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
And we're back here in the studio. What is going on with this weather? Well, I certainly don't like the nights here at the Hunterdon Chamber Studio where it's dark at 5 o'clock. When I leave the studio, it's really sad. And what's sadder is I have the S word in the forecast. You all know that I do not like the S word when it comes to snow. I like the S word when it comes to sun. Unfortunately, though, we're looking at a chance of snow after 3 a.m. this evening. And, of course, today is December 11th. Otherwise, it's mostly cloudy with a low around 28. Now, Saturday, we had snow, and it was the best snow you can have. It came on a Saturday, very light traffic, and there was no shoveling involved. And the next morning, the snow practically melted. So I was happy that the birds were able to get to the grass, and I always worry that those poor birds in the winter are going to be starving. The rest of the forecast is not looking so great. We have a chance of snow on Tuesday before 9 a.m., And then we're looking at some rain and snow between 9 and 10, and then a chance of rain after 10 a.m. But it looks like we're going to get a high near 44 tomorrow, so that's not too bad. We can get a run in the afternoon for sure. It doesn't look like there's any accumulation that's expected. So again, we like those snow forecasts. Tuesday night, we have another chance of snow showers, but the chance of precipitation is only 20%. So we're looking okay there. We don't have any beach days in our forecast, but Wednesday, we have a mostly cloudy day with a high near 30. Wednesday night, we're looking at a low of 18, and then our nights are getting even lower. Thursday night, we have a cloudy night with a low of 19 degrees. Thursday, we may be looking at some more snow showers, but there's no accumulation, so we like that. Friday, another chance of snow. I really don't like this forecast. Mostly cloudy with a high near 32 on Friday. And some more snow on Friday night. But Saturday, if you just hang in there for the week, we have a beautiful weekend with Saturday sunny skies and a high near 35. And Sunday, we're looking at a high near 42. So that's not too bad. It looks a little bit better when we peek around to Monday with a high of 43. So I'm going to hope for those days to continue. Do have our commercial, and then we'll be back here in the studio, and I'll introduce you to Karen Gaffney.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
That glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold.
And we're live in the studio. My name is Georgine Trinkle. If you're not familiar with our broadcast, it's the first time, welcome here. Happy to have you with us at Hot and Hunterdon. And I'm so excited to introduce our guest, our author, Karen Gaffney. Karen, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us. We have a very exciting reason for you to be here because your much beloved and worked upon novel, Dismantling the Racism Machine, has been published and it is now on sale and out in the hands of the public like me.
Thank you so much. Just to clarify though, it's not a novel, it's nonfiction.
Nonfiction. Okay. So it is out right now and Barnes & Noble has it. We have it on Amazon. And the publisher is Routledge Publisher?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Routledge.
Excellent. Well, congratulations, Karen, on such a great achievement and to bring such an interesting and important topic to the forefront where you have written this in a way that encourages discussion and you have it broken down into different chapters, but you also have a lot of interaction and opportunities that you give the reader to look at racism and oppression.
I hope so. My intent is to have created something that would be appropriate for people who are just starting to analyze and think about the history of race and racism in the U.S. and they need a place to begin. So they might be college students, they might be community members, the general public.
And Karen, you're not new to this work. You are an English professor at Raritan Valley Community College, and you've been teaching, besides your regular English classes, certainly race in America, literature, and pop culture?
Yes, yes. So I've been teaching composition at RVCC for 15 years, and then about 10 years ago, I created an English literature elective called Race in American Literature and Popular Culture. And so that has certainly been one of the catalysts for this project.
Now, I was able to first meet you through your work as a board member at Norwest CAP, which is a nonprofit organization. And one of our first discussions always stayed with me, and it was about data collection for the census and how we look at race. And you had a very unique information about that, and I was hoping you could share that today.
Sure, of course. So a lot of people might think of the census as just some, you know, boring form you fill out every 10 years. But actually, it is a way of one window into understanding how race has been constructed and perpetuated in this country. So one of the things that I find really important to look at is the fact that that the census asks the people that fill out the form to identify themselves on the basis of race. And since people have been filling out the forms themselves since 1960, people have had to make choices about how they self-identify in terms of race. And every 10 years, the census categories on race change. And if we go back to the history of the census, it was created in 1790. And for much of its history up until 1960, somebody came to your door and filled out the census on your behalf and made decisions about how they perceived your racial identification. Every 10 years, the definition of the racial categories changed. And so to me, the census is one of the best examples of thinking about what scholars call race as a social construct, meaning that race is essentially an invention, a social construct. It's constructed or created by society in order to perpetuate the status quo, in order to maintain power. And the census is just one of many different ways of understanding how the government essentially defines race at any moment in history. So you could look at the census forms that were used in 1870 or 1930. They're all online, and you can go back and look at exactly how the categories and were defined to learn more about our history.
Now tell me, the United States Census, is this something that is done in all the other countries?
So different countries, you know, certainly have different ways of counting their population and, you know, have different methods for that. But the U.S., I think, has a unique system for really focusing on race as a category. And so many times immigrants come to the U.S. and it's the first time that they have ever had to self-identify in the context of race. And they often don't even know what to put. These categories don't mean anything to them because they didn't grow up in this culture where we are essentially obsessed with these categories.
And some of the information from your book talks about how there's a lack of history, teaching history of race in the United States and how this, you know, continues to be defined. So very interesting for people who've never studied it.
Absolutely. And I think one of our biggest challenges as a nation is that people have not learned the real history behind the invention of race, the social construction of race. We have learned what we're supposed to learn. And today in 2017, the kinds of dominant messages that we are supposed to have learned is that racism is a thing of the past, that the only racism that continues to exist is individual or aberrant. But we miss the real truth behind all of this. And that is the reality that racism continues to the present, to today, that racism continues at systemic and societal and structural levels, institutional levels of oppression.
We're going to be talking more about that and about the concept of the racism as biological. When we come back, we have to take a short commercial break here, but we will be talking more about this important topic, so I hope you stay with us.
Holidays, I believe I've missed each and every face. Come on and play my music. Let's turn on every love light in the place. It's time I found myself totally surrounded. it in your circles. Oh, oh my friends, please celebrate me home. Give me a
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we're live in the studio. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and I have with me, a pleasure to have with me, Karen Gaffney, in the studio here with me today talking about Dismantling the Racism Machine, a manual and tool book that is now out in print and available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And Karen, right before the break, we were just talking about racism and really the falsehood about the biological versus the social construction on that. And I was hoping you could delve into that a little bit more for us.
Sure. So I think one of the most fundamentally misunderstood aspects of racism today is something that scholars think was already that the public already realized, you know, decades ago, because the scholars have realized this for decades. But there is a gap between what the scholars take for granted and what the general public understands. And that is the basic concept that race is not biological. Instead, it is a social construct. It is an invention. It is not something inherently, naturally, biologically, or scientifically real. Race was invented by human beings. And that occurred for a variety of reasons several centuries ago. And I use the title Dismantling the Racism Machine, and I use the metaphor of the racism machine as a way to emphasize that race and racism are social constructs. They are built by people.
Now, in your book early on, I felt like you were a little hopeful that this was no longer the case, that people really had separated these issues, but you feel that that's not really the case anymore.
Well, I think one thing that's interesting is around the year 2000, there was really a sense by scientists and social scientists and others that have studied this, that they had provided so much evidence that race is not biological, that there was just this assumption that that mythology would just fade away. But unfortunately, it's actually grown in power instead of diminished in power over the past, you know, 17 years since then. And to me, debunking the false ideology that race is biological is one of the most important ways that we can start to really tackle racism.
And that's how you use dismantling throughout the book as an area to break down. We have to get to these beliefs and misbeliefs, examine them, question them, teach people about them, allow them to build up their information on facts rather than what they construe to be facts or what is brought to them through the media. That's so often not a true representation of the facts, and then help to build a stronger community from that.
Absolutely. And to really build a bridge between what the scholars have taken for granted in this area. We have so much amazing scholarship from the fields of in the social sciences and history, and yet that scholarship is not often reaching the general public, whether it's the younger public in K-12 or adults.
And let's talk a little bit about your work with the race in America literature and pop culture. Do you see that people really just agree to whatever's on their social news feed and they're really not investigating it and they're just accepting it? And the influence of movies, really, and some other social media, do you feel that people really are just taking whatever information is given to them and not really investigating it or proving it, and that's really impacting their decisions?
Well, I think it really depends on the situation. Popular culture has the power to reinforce dominant ways of thinking, has the power to reinforce a racist ideology, and certainly there are countless examples of popular culture that has done that, starting with essentially the first film in the U.S., The Birth of a Nation in 1915, going all the way to the present with various forms of popular culture. But I think also at the same time, it's important to acknowledge the kinds of popular culture that resists the dominant ideology and that has a goal of raising awareness and empowering those who've been historically marginalized.
And I think we see recently with many of the different people being accused of sexual misconduct and, you know, large figure Hollywood stars, if you will. We see that in the culture. The other day I was watching a rerun of Friends, and Joey wanted to get a part and an audition for the part, but only if he slept with one of the producers or the directors. So then everyone seems surprised and shocked when people are accused of these terrible sexual misconducts. And yet it's in the culture as if it exists in that area. We don't have to be in Hollywood to know that when it comes through sometimes in pop culture, there is some truth to it.
Sure. And I think, unfortunately, that kind of a Friends example shows that it sort of made a joke of the situation and didn't actually give a serious situation an opportunity to be taken seriously. But I think what we're seeing now, especially with social media, I mean, again, social media can go both ways. It can absolutely reinforce dangerous ideologies about racism and many other ideologies, but it also can give voice to those who have not historically had a voice and access to getting their story out. And so the Me Too campaign and the others like it are one way of raising that voice.
And I think that's what frustrates people, that it something so serious, it just becomes that it's common, that's how what you have to do. And it's so wrong to so many people, but it's treated as a joke, and it's treated that that's just, you know, doing business as, you know, and there are no casualties to that, when of course there are. So I think that's the frustrating part of how these things seep into pop culture and they become accepted when they're not acceptable.
Absolutely. And that's how systems of oppression work, whether it's related to patriarchy or racism or other systems where they are instilled in the structures that surround us. And so we take it for granted as just the way it is, when in fact, we really need to confront it.
And you give some great examples in the book about how systems are in place and they're not dismantled, and how sometimes things are, you try to dismantle those. And I think about the voting examples that you give in your book. Maybe we could talk about that briefly.
Sure. So after the civil rights movement, there was tremendous backlash. And this backlash took so many different forms. So one of the really important things of the civil rights movement was the passing of the Civil Rights Act in 1964, and then the Voting Rights Act in 1965. But since then, and especially in more recent years, we have seen so many rollbacks to the Voting Rights Act that people who were essentially given the right to vote in 1965 no longer have that right to vote, whether it's this mythical notion of voter fraud, which still does not have any scientific basis. We are taught to believe that there's fraud where there isn't, and we take rights away from people who need those rights, who deserve those rights, who are entitled to those rights.
And I think that's an interesting point, too, between the voter fraud. People think that that is such a common occurrence, but really it's less common than some of the other ways people are not allowed to vote, and redistricting the maps and all of that, that really impacts who gets to vote and how they get to vote.
Right, and how do we call ourselves a democracy if the people do not have access to those democratic rights?
Okay, now, Karen, we do have to pay the bills around here. That's an important part of our job, and I'm getting my reminder here that I have to do a commercial break. But we will be back here in the studio to continue to talk to Karen Gaffney about racism and dismantling the racism machine, and really talk a little bit more about what's going on in society and what we can do to change some of these things and the oppression that's going on. So I hope you stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The device that exploded at the Port Authority bus terminal frayed the nerves of hundreds of people who heard it.
I thought it was a bomb, yeah.
So as you hear the sound, you know, boom, the train stops or whatever. You hear people screaming and yelling and stuff like that.
I'm scared because I work right next to the building.
An MTA worker named Sean was nearby when the device was detonated.
It just went off. It exploded. Everybody around him just hit the ground. It knocked people down, and people got up, started running.
The suspect had some sort of low-tech device attached to his body when it went off, injuring himself and four other people. The people in the subway, including the suspect, are being treated for minor injuries, mostly headaches and ringing in the ears, and they are expected to be released sometime later today. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
This holiday season, give the gift of the paradigm, the ancient mystery of our times. From the renowned author of The Harbinger and The Book of Mysteries, Jonathan Cahn brings his latest New York Times bestseller, A Mystery from the Ancient Middle East, foretelling the events of our time in his most explosive book yet. Jonathan Cahn reveals the master blueprint that is now unfolding, the paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. Available wherever fine books are sold.
Russian troops may soon be leaving Syria, USA's Chris Barnes reports.
Russian President Vladimir Putin making an unannounced visit to that nation on Monday and meeting with Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad. While there, Putin issued an order to begin withdrawing the majority of Russian forces. It's the first time Putin's been to Syria since he sent those forces to help crush rebel groups opposed to Assad in 2015. Putin visiting an air base and telling the troops there they would be coming home as victors. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A federal court says transgender people can enlist in the U.S. military starting January 1st. The ruling is a blow to President Trump's effort to ban transgender people from coming into the military. Transgender military policies were eased during the prior Obama administration. The ruling came from a U.S. Circuit Court judge in Washington, D.C., and the issue will likely end up at the Supreme Court. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my Blue Blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are Blue Blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue Blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. Here's a great holiday offer. Call toll-free now to order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus shipping. The perfect Christmas gifts. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777.
Comedian Hannibal Buress is out of jail now after being busted for disorderly intoxication. The incident was caught on a cell phone video and posted to YouTube.
The arrest. Am I under? Am I for what? Explain what I'm under. Explain what I'm detained for.
TMZ reports that Buress was arrested in Miami over the weekend. The officer who arrested him says the comedian approached him with bloodshot eyes and a strong odor of alcohol and requested that the cop call him an Uber. When the cop refused, Buress became belligerent. He then went inside a bar and the officer asked him to leave because he was too drunk. Buress began to curse at him. The officer apparently asked him to leave five times before arresting him. A holiday trends expert has more good news for Amazon as this year's holiday shopping season continues.
Consumer confidence is at its highest it's been in about 17 years or so when it comes to holiday shopping. So people are going to be going out to the store, so they want a good shopping experience there. But some people are a little bit worried about that shopping experience at the store, so they're looking for brands online.
Digital journalist Mike Baco also thinks people are trying to relax more during their holiday shopping, but still create satisfying gift-giving experiences. Find out more on his website, Daily National. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
I will run into the midnight sun. Wheels go round and round on my mind.
And we're back here in the studio. Just want to remind anyone, if you want to call in with any questions or discussion points, we are taking some live calls this second half of our hour with Karen Gaffney. And you could call into the studio at 908-237-0410, or you could just send us a message on our Facebook page, and we'll bring that question and discussion here. So back here into the studio with Karen Gaffney, right before our break, we're talking about the backlash against the civil rights movement and about oppression. So I was hoping we could pick that right back up.
Sure, absolutely. So as we were talking about, one of the strategies for this backlash was ultimately to focus on the false idea of voter fraud, to roll back voting rights by presenting the notion that people were fraudulently voting, which is essentially just a myth. But fraud was used as a myth in other ways to reinforce this backlash and to cut against the progress that was made in the civil rights movement. So another example was the stereotype that became prominent in politics and the media in the 1980s, which is the myth of the welfare queen. And so the dominant stereotype that was focused on was that the welfare queen was someone who was fraudulently taking money from the government undeservedly. And this is a way in which poverty essentially was criminalized. Before this time, there were generally perceptions of poverty as something that white people experienced, and there was generally support for social services. But after the civil rights movement, there was a real shift in who the dominant notion of who was poor, and that really shifted from white to black in a lot of ways. And so with that shift, poverty became became criminalized, and through the welfare queen stereotype, black people were essentially blamed for being poor, and the support for social services really were rolled back in so many ways, and we still see that with us today. And that has affected everyone who is poor, especially people of color. But as social services are getting cut back more and more, that's had a profound impact on people who are suffering economically.
And the fraud of welfare, I think it's similar to the voter fraud. It's out there. It should be investigated. It should be eliminated. And those things, we certainly don't condone it, but it is not rampant in the system. Most people that are on welfare are getting such a small amount. It really doesn't impact their ability to even meet their basic needs most times. And there is this misconception that if you are receiving government assistance, you're taken care of. And people are often surprised and shocked when they learn that that is not the case at all, particularly with even our veterans, that they don't always have dental insurance, or the access to health insurance is very limited. And I think it's the same myth with people that are on welfare. Even if they have food stamps doesn't cover everything that you could possibly need. Even basic things through, different types of hygiene products aren't completely eliminated from the food stamp budget. So your needs aren't met, and yet people think that they're living high on the hog. I remember a reporter that I worked with once penned it the Cadillac Queen. You know, there was this conception in the 80s and even the 90s that people were driving around in Cadillacs and not working and just having this, you know, wonderful life. And most of the time, people don't have cars, or if they had a car, they can't afford a gasoline or the insurance for the vehicle. So it is this misconception that continues to be perpetuated through the media and through people's belief system that they don't question it.
Absolutely. And these specific types of stereotypes end up supporting a larger myth of the American dream, that if you work hard, then you will be financially successful, and that you don't need government assistance or anyone else's help to do that. It's the myth of the power of the individual. It's the myth of meritocracy. And that is that's extremely, extremely powerful in this country. But it is just that. It is a myth.
And in dismantling the racism machine, you talk about how that myth also, as it relates to income inequality.
Absolutely. I think that, we just do not spend enough time examining the ways in which people are not able to access the American dream and have not been able to access it for generations. So as an example, the gap between the rich and the poor has grown tremendously since the civil rights movement. That's another, layer of this backlash. The Occupy Wall Street movement drew attention to the 1% and the notion of the significant gap between the very, very wealthy and everybody else. What did not get as much attention and which needs to is what is called the racial wealth gap. And that is the idea that white households currently, and this is from the Pew Research Center, white households currently have 13 times the wealth of black households, and that white households have 10 times the wealth of Latinx households. And that just shows that economic inequality is a problem for anyone who is poor, but on top of that, it is even more of a problem for Black and Latinx individuals and families.
And can you explain to our readers the Latinx term? A lot of people have not come across that.
Sure, absolutely. So activists from and writers from communities that beforehand would have been called Hispanic, or individuals who would have been identified as Latino or Latina, some of them have really talked about the gendered notion of the word Latino and Latina, and rather than have to identify oneself by gender, replacing the O or the A with an X can be a more gender-neutral term that can be more empowering and also will not revert always to the male form of the word.
I think that's excellent, and I think a lot of times people are seeing it's people, even though it's been for the last decade, I think people are just starting to really see it and wonder when they should use it and how to use it. I think there are some people who, you know, certainly would want to make sure that they are not offending any particular race or sector or group, and it's important to be able to explain what those things are. And when we talk about the income and inequality, really, and the Occupy Wall Street, why do you think that failed?
Well, I'm not sure that it failed exactly. I think it succeeded in raising awareness. I mean, we have this concept of the 1% because of this movement. But there, you know, it was, I think, an important grassroots movement. But at the same time, the power of lobbyists and the power of politicians who are supported by those lobbyists in many ways were able to squash some of the power of this grassroots movement. And so, you know, it's not over. I mean, we can't, you know, we can't give up in any of these fronts. And we need to learn more about how power operates in Washington and around the country.
And people can have a local impact, too, on that. And I think that people are surprised that the Occupy Wall Street movement, the visibility of it diminished, because I think most people agreed that it was wrong, that their principles were right. And I think most people really agreed with that, that, you know, banks that failed and the CEOs were getting these astronomical millions and millions of dollars in bonuses that were, you know, government money, and they weren't being voted on by the people. And here you're standing, you know, in line once a month or every quarter for recertification for $10 in food and your SNAP benefit or your food stamp benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, it just seems so unequal. But eventually it stopped being in the front page of the paper. And I think that maybe more local grass movement things, which we're going to talk about after the break, maybe will help to make people understand where the power gaps are and where the inequity of all of this is in our social structures.
Absolutely. And I think the kinds of problems that the Occupy movement identified several years ago are worse today through no help from the Trump administration.
Okay, we're going to do our quick commercial break, and we'll be back to talk about what you can do locally and how you can have an impact.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in the Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Excuse me, but can I be you for a while? My dog won't bite if you sit real still. I got the Antichrist in the kitchen yelling at me again. Yeah, I can hear. Been saved again by the garbage truck. I got something to say, you know, but nothing comes. Yes, I know what you think of me. You never shut up. Yeah, I can hear that. What if I'm a mermaid in these jeans of his with her name still on it?
And we're back in the studio with Karen Gaffney talking about dismantling the racism machine. And you are enjoying on the first part of our show a little Christmas or holiday orchestra from a group that was sponsored by one of the local Hunterdon County churches, the Immaculate Conception Church, which brought a beautiful musical orchestra to the community at a very reasonable price, and that's part of a fundraiser to help the arts. So we want to give a shout out to them for sponsoring that. And also one of our hot items around Hunterdon County this week, Thursday evening, there is a special shopping in the evening over in Hunterdon County, a luminary. So we'll be lighting up the streets and the stores will be open until 9:30. So you know how we feel about shopping locally around here. We try to support our local businesses for giving back to the community, hiring locally, and doing all the great things that they do to keep Hunterdon County strong. So that is what's going on in Hunterdon this week. And now we turn back toward our discussion with Karen Gaffney, just talking about the economic inequality and some of the grassroots movements that are going on. And I know, Karen, that we have some wonderful listeners here in Hunterdon County and, you know, of course, because it's an internet radio, from all over, who may be listening today and wondering how can they be educated about the issues with racism? How can they be more involved in the community? How can they be sure not to perpetuate the myths?
Thank you. So I think that my book is a place to begin for those who are new to thinking about race and racism. In Hunterdon County, which is a predominantly white county, I think that white communities like Hunterdon have a responsibility to learn about race and racism, and this is one step in the right direction. My book provides an introductory and accessible way of helping the reader understand how we got here, where we are, and the kinds of actions that can be taken to dismantle racism and to dismantle white supremacy. We need to start to understand the myths that we have been taught, especially white people as a white person, I know the myths that I've been taught and how powerful they can be. And we need to understand those myths and how to resist them. I think we have a responsibility to do that and to take action and to support members of our community who are people of color.
And this seeps into all areas of our community. And one example we can talk about is health. You talk about racism and health, and certainly with some of the programs that are offered to try to decrease the high morbidity rates in a particular area, for example, breast cancer, very high for women that are Hispanic. And this, we see this because there's a lack of access to health, and also for other reasons that you can maybe expand on.
Sure. And I think just to take a step back, I think one of the problems and one of the ways that some of the mythologies that I've been talking about are perpetuated is that medicine and health is another arena where the false idea that race is biological continues to be perpetuated. When you go to the doctor, you often fill out a form, and one of the questions is about your racial identity, just like in the census. And so this sort of persistent categorization that a legal scholar like Dorothy Roberts points out. She has a great TED Talk. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But the medical profession is one way that both consciously and unconsciously can often reinforce the notion that race is biological, and that's a problem. There also, in terms of the institution of medicine, there's certainly many ways in which there's a lack of access to healthcare for people of color. But on top of that, people of color are experiencing detrimental health effects from racism in their communities. And so it is negatively affecting their health, which then is reinforced by their lack of access to adequate healthcare.
And we see this in Hunterdon County. We see this in Warren County. We see this all across the country. This is not specific to one community. This is not because of a particular industry. This is, you know, widespread and rampant. And people are not being diagnosed with cancers because they don't have access to a doctor, physicians. So it's a very significant issue for certain. And we know that there are a lot of groups trying to change this. And hopefully, if you're in an area of health or this is an area that you can make a change, you'll maybe look into some of the rural and health opportunities that are available to try to change this.
Right. And I think even more generally that we need to be much more aggressive about raising awareness about the fundamentals of the history of race and racism in the U.S. And if we don't understand the history that led us here, we're not going to be able to dismantle implicit bias or explicit bias in the systems that we directly work in.
And that is really important. And the work on implicit bias, of course, with law enforcement, they're making a lot of changes for that, a lot of training, mandatory training that's happening. And so we hope that this continues to break down these implicit biases so that we can meet people neutrally and in a much more comprehensive way to become one community. Karen, we're almost out of time, and I do want to make sure people are aware of how and where they can get Dismantling the Racism Machine. So once again, that's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and Routledge is the publisher. And we'll put a link on our Facebook page. And, you know, I really want to thank you for coming out today and being with us. And this is a topic that impacts all of us. I appreciate you being able to break down some of these really these things that are somehow because of the history of what we're taught and not taught, we end up needing to know more now, and you give us a place to dive in and to become educated.
Thank you so much. And I just want to mention that at the local level, the Hunterdon County Anti-Racism Coalition is a great place to get started in terms of addressing some of these issues. It's a group that meets monthly in Flemington. You can find it on Facebook. Again, that's the Hunterdon County Anti-Racism Coalition, so that is local. At the national level, there are many, many organizations, but in particular, I would draw everyone's attention to the websites that the Black Lives Matter movement have put together and the principles and recommendations that they have. I think they absolutely need our support.
Thank you again, Karen, for joining us. Next week, we'll have our new Veterans Administrator Coordinator from Hunterdon County on to talk about Veterans Services. And I hope you stay tuned for Ruth Ann Celebration Hour. Thanks for joining us here at Hot in Hunterdon. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle. We'll be back in the studio next week.
Spinning your wheels, wasting your time. But when the lights come up, and I hear the band, and where they said I'd never be is exactly where I am.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The device that exploded at the Port Authority bus terminal frayed the nerves of hundreds of people who heard it.
I thought it was a bomb, yeah.
So as you hear the sound, you know, boom, the train stops or whatever. You hear people screaming and yelling and stuff like that.
I'm scared because I work right next to the building.
An MTA worker named Sean was nearby when the device was detonated.
It just went off. It exploded. Everybody around him just hit the ground. It knocked people down, and people got up, started running.
The suspect had some sort of low-tech device attached to his body when it went off, injuring himself and four other people. The people in the subway, including the suspect, are being treated for minor injuries, mostly headaches and ringing in the ears, and they are expected to be released sometime later today. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
This holiday season, give the gift of the paradigm, The Ancient Mystery of Our Times. From the renowned author of The Harbinger and The Book of Mysteries, Jonathan Cahn brings his latest New York Times bestseller, A Mystery from the Ancient Middle East, foretelling the events of our time in his most explosive book yet. Jonathan Cahn reveals the master blueprint that is now unfolding, the paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. Available wherever fine books are sold.
Russian troops may soon be leaving Syria, USA's Chris Barnes reports.
Russian President Vladimir Putin making an unannounced visit to that nation on Monday and meeting with Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad. While there, Putin issued an order to begin withdrawing the majority of Russian forces. It's the first time Putin's been to Syria since he sent those forces to help crush rebel groups opposed to Assad in 2015. Putin visiting an air base and telling the troops there they would be coming home as victors.